Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. With these words, the prophet Zechariah, 2,500 years ago, pointed to Jesus Christ, the King, Ha'erkamenas, the coming one. Jesus Christ is the King who came. Jesus is the King who is just. Jesus is the King who is lowly. He's the King whose justice and whose lowliness has brought mankind salvation from sin. Today, these words of Zechariah once again direct our thoughts to the Advent season, in which we acknowledge the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh to establish his kingdom. And the Advent season in turn reminds us that we are again at the threshold of a new church year. One more year has been granted to us by our God to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to a world doomed under the curse of sin. One more year has been granted to this world to receive the gospel message, to repent, and to be saved from an eternity of damnation. Today we also think of the beginning of a new quarter of studies in the 1983-84 academic year here at our seminary. Another quarter, by God's grace, granted to professors of this Christian school to teach the best courses they've ever taught for the glory of God. Another year granted to the students on this campus to exercise all their vigor, all their ability, all their integrity, all their courage to learn of him in whom they find rest for their souls. My prayer this morning and during this season and this quarter and this church year is that we may be enabled and empowered by our God to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to preach it in the way it is meant to be preached. To set our sights aright on the goal of this high calling, I invite you to join with me this morning to consider that portion of Scripture which has just been read from the lectern. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 18 to 22, is a concise, a well-crafted, and an extremely basic gospel text. It stands out like a rock in a sea of uncertainty. It comes upon the reader suddenly and unexpectedly, like a tender gospel blossom in the midst of an arid land of human frailty and failings. The early chapters of 2 Corinthians are set against the background of grumblings and uncertainties in the church at Corinth. Here in first century Corinth, the unsettling results of modern biblical criticism are already being manifest in their incipient form. The question which was being raised and which was agitating the church at Corinth in the first century was this: can we really trust St. Paul? When Paul speaks, can we be sure of what he says? When Paul writes, can we take his words at face value? Is Paul's message ambiguous? Are Paul's words unclear and uncertain? Do they mean one thing today? Do they mean another thing tomorrow? Paul's integrity, his veracity, his honesty was being challenged. Paul has been set on the defensive. This is why he writes as he does in the 13th verse of our chapter. For we write nothing else to you than what you read and understand, and I hope will understand until the end. But Paul is enough of a student of human nature to know that in these churchy matters, the best defense is a good offense. And so in the text before us this morning, St. Paul makes his move by outlining in all simplicity and with an element of spiritual grandeur the basic configuration of the gospel which he preached at Corinth. The high point of our text is in the 20th verse of this chapter, which reads simply as follows: For all the promises of God, from Genesis to Malachi, all the promises of God in him, Christ, are yes. And there are amen. And in these two simple words, yes and amen, stands, as it were, the watershed of this text. To grasp the significance of this yes and this amen in verse 20, we must remember the distinction between one, the preaching of the gospel, and two, the receiving of the gospel. St. Paul himself makes this distinction in the well-known first verse of chapter 15 of his first letter to Corinth, where he says, Now, brethren, I make known unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which gospel also you received, and wherein you stand. That which is received is dependent upon the content of that which is preached. The content of that which is preached is not at all dependent upon its reception. The yes in verse 20 refers to the preaching of the gospel. This preaching is referred to in the two previous verses. In verse 18, it's referred to as our word toward you. In verse 19, it's referred to as the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you. And then in verse 20, it's referred to as all the promises of God are in Christ, yes and amen. Paul's use of the simple adverb yes to describe his gospel is for the purpose of validating that gospel as being absolutely certain. Paul certifies the absolute truth of his gospel by describing it as consisting of 100% yes, so it is, to the complete exclusion of any trace of no, it is not so. But God is, as God is true, our word toward you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among us by you, was not yes and no. In him was yes. Paul, the gospel that Paul preached, allowed for no element of it is not so. There was no room for a negative that would lead to uncertainty or introduce an element of if in Paul's gospel. The gospel, Paul knew, and the gospel Paul preached is not a possible suggestion. It's not a potential acclamation. It's not, it may be so. The gospel Paul preached is a positive assertion. Yes, it is so. This is the significance of the little word yes in our text. The gospel preached by Martin Luther in the 16th century was the same gospel preached by St. Paul in the first century. The gospel as preached by Paul and Luther is the it is so gospel, full of assurance and full of certainty. This is the way the gospel must be preached, because this is the very nature of the gospel message itself. For all the promises of God in Christ are yes, yes, it is so. What is the gospel but the fact that in history, Jesus Christ, in his one brief life on earth, fulfilled all the promises of God, from those made to the first man, Adam, to those expected by the last of the prophets, John the Baptist. The yes in verse 20 refers to the preaching of the gospel. It is so. The amen in verse 20 refers to the receiving of the gospel. So it is. The amen in verse 20 is the amen of Abraham in Genesis 15:6, where his believing response to the promise of God, his amen, was reckoned to him as righteousness. This amen, this so it is, was the believing response of the Corinthians to Paul's missionary message. Even as the preaching of the gospel centers on and points to the glory of God, so also the receiving of the gospel centers on and gives praise to the glory of God. In our text, Paul reminds the believers at Corinth, it is God who established us in Christ. It is God who anointed us as Christians. It is God who sealed us in the faith. It is God who has given us the gift of the Spirit in our hearts. The amen of the believer can extend only as far as the limits of the certainty reflected in the gospel he has received. And the certainty of the gospel men receive can extend only as far as the certainty with which the gospel has been preached. Paul was sure his converts were the church of God in Corinth, because Paul was sure of his gospel, and he was sure this was the gospel message that God meant for Corinth. As the Advent season opens before us, let's all take this opportunity to consider once again the King who entered the history of this world, who was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and in whom all the promises of God found their yes and find their amen. As a new church year begins, let us pray that our gospel may go out into the world with converting power. May God seal the certainty of his word in our hearts and on our lips to the praise of his glory. As a new quarter begins in this seminary, let us joyfully labor together in the gospel, seeking to learn more of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the King of glory, who at the close of the holy book leaves us with this promise. Yes, I come quickly. It is so. And to whom we reply, Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus Christ. So it is. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all this season, this quarter, and this year. Amen.